It's time for Breaking Chain with Healthy Monday, where we will discuss spiritual, mental, and physical health issues. It's Breaking Chain with Healthy Monday on YAT Radio.
Well, we're live right here on YAT Radio. Tonight is, I believe, special because I believe that it is the will of God for all of us to have that abundant life that's in John 10:10. B, I believe that it is His will for us to have that abundant life. I want to repeat it. He wants us to prosper, and He wants us to be in health as our soul prosper. And as we all know, it is our soul that has all of that emotion, has all of our will in it, has all of those things that really needs to be saved and really needs to have deliverance in those areas. So tonight, our first topic for this week, we're going to talk about acting on our emotions. I feel like I need to pray first for this one, because this one's kind of, even in my study and research, this one hits me. And it's some things in my life that I now regret because of my emotional outbursts and things that I didn't use the believer's arsenal of weaponry before I approached it. So let's do what we know to do, and that's pray. Father, we thank You this evening for who You are. Thank You that You lead and guide us into all truth. Thank You that You make a way out of no way for us. Thank You that You give us all that we need. We know that out of Your mouth proceeds wisdom. And so we thank You tonight that You're going to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. You're going to open up our minds. You're going to open up our spirits. And You're going to download us with Your godly wisdom, because Your word truly has let us know that Your thoughts are not our thoughts. Your ways are not our ways. So help us to unpack this. Help the listeners to understand. We thank You for those that have called in. We thank You for those that are visiting with us here on Facebook. God, we ask You to bless them in a special way, because I know it was only by Your Spirit that You drew them. So they're here because they are also searching for answers, not to just to look at Dr. Ruby. That's not why they're here. They're here because they want answers to their own real life situations. So I pray in the name of Jesus, Holy Ghost of God, that You will be a discerner of our hearts, that You will open wide my understanding and the ears of the hearers, so we can become better believers. God, that we will come and understand about breaking the chains of strongholds of emotional outrages and fixing the things, God, that causes us to be in trouble. Even though we are saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit, there is still need to have deliverance from strongholds in our souls. So I thank You tonight for how You're going to handle it. It's all up to You now, Holy Spirit. You're the best teacher, so do what You do. Teach us. It is in the mighty, majestic name of Jesus the Christ, I decree and declare it to be so. Amen. All right. Tonight we're talking about acting on our emotions. Doing my research, I recognize that science has said there is either three basic, there are six types or eight types of emotion. So I want to share with you that there are different types of emotion that have an influence on how we live and interact with others. Don't you agree? At times, it may seem like we are ruled by our emotions, the choices we make, the actions we take, and the perceptions we have are all influenced by our emotions and we are experiencing at any given time. Now, this is research. Psychologists have also tried to identify the different types of emotions that people experience. Listen, a few different theories have emerged to categorize and explain the emotions that people feel. Our basic emotions. Now, they did a study in 1970, and Professor Paul Ekman identified six basic emotions. that he suggests were universally experienced in all human cultures. It really doesn't matter where you come from. I mean, we all just have these. The emotions he identified were happiness, sadness, disgust, fear, surprise, and anger. Woo, we're going to get into that anger thing. He later expanded his list of basic emotions to include such things as pride and shame. We already know that in the Word, we know that pride comes before a fall. That haughtiness, yes, it comes before a fall. It's shame, embarrassment, and excitement. So we want to look at also what the psychologists are saying. It says that even though there's many concepts in psychology, listen, not all theorists agree on how to classify emotions or what the basic emotions actually are. Now, when I told you about Ekman, his theory is one of the best known. Other theorists have proposed that their ideas about what emotions make up the core of the human experience. For example, some researchers have suggested that there are only, listen, two or three basic emotions. Others have suggested that emotions exist in something of a hierarchy. Primary emotions such as love, joy, surprise, anger, and sadness can then be further broken down into secondary emotions. They are love, for example, consists of secondary emotions such as affections and longing. Yeah, that one I agree with wholeheartedly, because when there is true love for someone, yeah, you do. You have that that secondary thing. Yes, you have that affection, things that you have in your mind and things that you want to do, and you have that longing because you miss them. All right, the secondary emotion might then be broken down still further into what are known as the hereditary emotions. Listen, the secondary emotions of affections include territorial emotions such as liking, caring, compassion, and tenderness. Now, and most recent studies suggest that there are at least 27 distinctive emotions, all of which are highly interconnected. I absolutely agree. After analyzing the responses of more than 800 men and women to more than 2,000 video clips, researchers created an interactive map to demonstrate how these emotions are related to one another. We have found that 27 distinct dimensions, not six, were necessary to account for the way hundreds of people reliably reported feeling in response to the videos that they did in their research. Now, I like this guy. I like Alan Cohen, the study's leader author of doctoral students in neuroscience at UC Berkeley, suggests that better clarifying the nature of our emotions can play an important role in helping scientists, psychologists, and physicians learn more about how emotions underlie brain activity, our behavior, and our mood. By building a better understanding of these states, he said he hopes that researchers can develop improved treatments for psychiatric conditions. It's a mixed bag. They don't even know. And in the 70s, they thought it was just sick. In the 80s, they thought it was more. Now, in the 21st century, they're saying that it's 27 and they're all intertwined. Well, I know this to be a truth that man did not make us. Who made us? God did. So he knows how we're all wired. And this is very important for us as believers in understanding the breaking down of strongholds in areas of our lives when we look at what's in Galatians 5, when we look at the fits of rage, of anger, unforgiveness, we look at so many different emotions that the flesh still holds on to. Mm-hmm. Because we know as believers, this is the truth, that the Word of God tells us in Scripture that in order for us to be free of some of those things that we know that we've noticed, we have even caught ourselves, and I'm talking real good right now to me too, because it took a while that even when you come into the knowledge of who Jesus is, you understand that he is the mediator between God and man. He is the one that brought us in right standing. He is the one that has given us an opportunity to have eternal life, to call on his name and believe that he is the Son of God. So therefore, we are saved. We have salvation through Jesus. Mm-hmm. Now, when we are saved, our spirit is saved. Because in the beginning, God made us. Listen, when you go into Genesis 2, when you realize that God made man from the dust of the ground, then God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, which is his spirit, and then we became a living soul. We became a living being. So know that we are first, like God. God is a spirit. And when he blew into that dirt, that dust, this flesh that we are now, we became a living soul. So now, we still have, according to the word, the flesh to deal with, our flesh. We have to bring it under subjection. We have to bring it under subjection. We're going to talk about the believer's arsenal of weaponry. Because if you don't get this, and you're not being true to yourself, you're not going to the Father, we're not talking about condemnation tonight to anyone. The Word of God says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. What I am saying to you tonight is, you have a way out. Have you noticed your emotions? Have you noticed that there have been times in your life that you have said things, or you have felt yourself coming to a place? Haven't you felt yourself, I know I'm not the only one, that you felt heated, that you felt anger, that you felt furious, that you felt outraged, that you were hostile to somebody, that you were irritated about something that was said. And because something continued to happen in that arena, eventually it pushed your button because you handled it in your own power. That's what I want to cut right there. Our own power. For a long time, I wasn't a very nice person because we are wired differently. But the learned behavior that we carry is that behavior that we grew up with. What did you grow up in your house with? If you grew up with abuse, if you grew up with physical, mental, and emotional abuse, and you did not get counsel, you did not take time to do the work and process that and learn new skills, let me talk to you. We still have it. Did I say we? We still have it. I don't care if we are 30, 40, or 50, 60, 70, and we never had those issues addressed, we are still acting on our emotions. And the reason why we're talking about this is because there is so much going on in our world. There's so many people that are going through crisis. There's so much stress. There's so many hostile acts. I know you all saw it on Facebook. Gosh, we're in India and different things. I mean, they're just killing Christians. There is a world of discord that's happening. People are doing things out of their own emotions, their own flesh. They don't care because the Bible says there is a way that seems right unto a man, but at the end of the matter, it's death. So we want to look at our emotions. The reason why we're talking about this tonight is because I want us to make this a self-examination. And then I want you to go to God with it. Because if you are Christian and you still do not have control over your mouth, over your emotions, you still fussing, you still cussing, you still have unforgiveness, you still carry stuff, you still hold aught, these underlining components in your emotions are causing you to act out. We're going to look at what some of these emotions, how it affects our body. You know, it affects our real physical being. Listen, I'm going to tell you, there's probably 8 primary emotions. We are born with these emotions, and they're wired into our brain. So that wiring causes our body to react in certain ways and for us to have certain urges when these emotions arise. I want to talk about one right here when these emotions arise. I was brought up the first part of my life in a loving home with my mom and my stepdad. Just had love the first 8 or 9 years. The next 7 or 8 years, I was in a very abusive, incestuous, horrible lifestyle in a school that cared for me, didn't care for me. I was very seldom told that I was loved, very seldom hugged, wasn't any of that. So from the time, thank God, from my birth till I was 8 or 9 years old, I knew love. I knew it from my mom. I knew it from the people around me. And then the other part of it was hard for me. And I acted out on that. Because what is the underlining, the reason why we act out? There are several. Because we fear, we don't understand. It's our perception of the matter, and there's none communication. So, the 8 primary emotions, let's talk about them. We have anger, which deals with itself. Let's look at it. It deals with fury, outrage, wrath, irritability, hostility, resentment, and violence. Anger pecks a wallop because even when we have the emotions of anger, now there's Ecclesiastes 3 tells us there's a time and a season for every single thing. You can be angry and sin not. That's the word. But you and I both know that when you get into that anger that causes hostility and you are in violence and you're outraged against somebody, you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself. And we're going to talk about what to do in the spirit to cut that off, to take control over that. All right, let's look at some of the primary emotions, and let's look at their secondary. Okay, let's look at sadness. Sadness carries grief, sorrow, gloom, melancholy feelings, despair, loneliness, and can lead you into a deep depression if you are not careful and you don't have a network around you where you're going to have people to help you and to pray you through and to take you out of your pity party self and do not allow you to be sunken or drawn into that pit of depression. Prayer warriors, a support group, are vital. And I understand how God works. When we are believers, it does not mean that we are not going to go through crisis, that we are not going to have situations in our lives that we feel like that we're going to be crushed, that we're going to be squeezed. Faith helps us get that. It's not that it's going to be easy. And then when we're in it, we need to ask God for his grace, to help us get through. He told us in his word that we can do all things through Christ. It's going to have to be Christ that strengthens us. So when we are talking about acting out on our emotions, let's not need ever forget that we are going to need to fall to our knees and pray. That's correct. You want to cut the enemy off? You want to choke him out? You want to starve those things that's happening to us? You want to break those strongholds? We're going to talk about it because it's going to have to come out by fasting and prayer. The word tells us in Mark 9:29. Jesus said, listen, even when he was with his disciples and they were out and they were in situations where they were out in the real world like we are now, and they were dealing with people like we do today, and they came back and said, wait a minute, we can't cast these demons out. All kind of fits of rage. I mean, people were cutting themselves and stuff like they do today. They were having emotional outbursts. They had strongholds. They had demons. And they said, Jesus, we can't do anything. And he said, yeah, these are only going to come out by fasting and praying. You can starve the hell out of it, and you can pray until you have deliverance. I want to be very clear about that. Because when you turn down your plate and you put that thing on the altar, according to the word of God, it said, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. Cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. And then the other scripture says that, that he said, come boldly before my throne of grace. There you can find help and obtain mercy in your time of need. So until we recognize and we notice that we don't have that flip, that we don't have that switch, that we don't have that poke area that's going to be inflamed, we're going to have to pray. We're going to have to fast. We're going to have to make our request known to God and sincerely not want it anymore. And I know it can happen because he delivered me. He set me free from cursing, from running around, from smoking. But and all of those emotions and all that stuff, yeah, they all had emotions. They all really, really did. Because I don't know if anybody's out there that was a former smoker. You know that when you did not have your Feeling Light 100s or your Winston's, you had an attitude. It's the same way right now. It's with the addiction of food, the emotions that comes out of that. It's an underlining because there is something that's under there that's causing that emotion, that's causing you to act like that. I know that. You've seen people that when they get hungry, they're just all over the place. I mean, you really can't talk to them because, you know, they just need to eat their blood sugars and stuff. And the reason why they are acting that way is because their blood sugars and things are going like that, and it's causing them to act the way they are. Now, once the sugar is under control, it's balanced, they have enough protein, they're hydrated enough, they're oxygenated enough, they've spent time in the Word, their blood pressure and stuff goes down, the blood sugars and stuff balance, and they're a sweeter person. That's the natural side. But in order to get a hold of that, you're going to have to take the weapons of your warfare first. And that's prayer, and that's fasting, because fasting is going to fast the hell out of that, because it causes us to be in that place until we get rid of it. Mm-hmm. That's right. Let's look at an emotion of fear. Fear's underlining is what I call it, its cousins and uncles, are anxiety, apprehension, nervousness, dread, fright, and panic. When we fear things, most times fear comes because we don't understand something, or something happens suddenly and we are afraid of it, or we have those anxieties of, it can come in our relationships. Really talk about that, because so much of this, the fear and anxiety, comes under domestic violence. Because I am a survivor, I know that feeling. And when you have that fear and those anxieties, because you never know what the other person is going to do. You don't know what they're feeling today. You don't know what you're going to say that's going to trigger it. And that's an awful way to live. But even while you're in that, and I want to stop right here, and I want to make this perfectly clear, if I can. If you're in that relationship, and the Holy Spirit is prompting that too, if you're in a type of relationship that is physically hurting you, emotionally hurting you, right, you need to seek help. You need to get out of that. You need to seek help around you. You need to get to a shelter, or you need to get to the police, someone. You need to go to a hospital. You need to ask for help. I don't know where those resources are. And this is the second time this has come up in my spirit, and I'm going to make sure that the next time I sit here, and I'm going to have it on next week, I'm going to have resources that you'll be able to inbox me or call me personally so I can talk with you and pray with you and share with you where you need to go if you're in a harmful relationship where you're physically being hurt, male or female or children. All right? Let's look at the emotions of joy. Joy has enjoyment and happiness. That joy is a relief. It's a delight. I like this one because I know for myself, when I experience joy, not happiness, there's two different things. Happiness is caused by an outer element or something that you're involved in that will cause you to be happy for a small period of time. You know, you could have got a gift and you were real excited. You were happy because you received something. Joy, on the other hand, is when you have had an encounter, an awakening, a knowing. Woo, you've been refreshed. And the way that the believers get that is that they are refreshed in the presence of God. You have prayed, you have read your word, you have sung unto the Lord, and you have got your pen and your paper and your journal, and you have heard from the Lord, the scriptures that you've read, you realize that you've got your answers in it. And when you pray in your heavenly language and you sit for a while, because you do, when you go in the presence of God, you're seeking truth. You're seeking godly wisdom better than yourself. Not your answers, but His. Yeah, the Holy Spirit is like that. And God loves for us to come to Him like that and ask in the name of Jesus. He's ready to help us. So when we have that enlightenment, that awakening, that's the joy, because the word tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And that comes through fasting and prayer. All right, let's look at the other primary, and it's interest. It's interest. And the secondaries to that are acceptance, friendliness, trust, kindness, affection, love, and devotion. What is our interest as believers? I can't say it enough. Our interest is found in Matthew 6:33. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," his way of doing things, his thoughts. Matthew 7:7 says that we can ask anything. That's our interest. We want kingdom principles. We want to be able to work the arsenal of weaponry that God is going to give us, the revelations that he's going to download us with, so he can give us supernatural instruction. Because just as I sit right here before you right now, and I'm breathing, who's breathing me? The will of God. When I do that, I can't do that on my own. He is breathing me, allowing me now to be whole, allowing me to speak now. But he is, in fact, working through me, releasing his thoughts. He does that every day. Every time we study, every time I read the word, and I pray, and I get a new infilling, or he states something that is so marvelous to me, that's the joy. So my interest is in those things. Let's look at the other emotion, and that is surprise. Surprise, we look at the secondary, or is to be shocked, to be with astonishment, amazement. You're astound and wonder. Woo, this fits my heavenly parent right here. This fits when God shows up suddenly. And he will do that when we have called down all of those emotions that we have recognized. Because this tonight we're talking because we need to start noticing what we've noticed about our own behavior. Because I know that when we go to church every Sunday and everybody's dressed and we all look like we have it all together, but don't follow me to the parking lot, don't pull in front of me, you know, don't step on my shoes, you know, don't look at me cross. I mean, these are all learned behavior. That's why the wiring of our bodies to react in a certain way is the things that we have grown up with. We have learned these wrong emotions. Because when we look at the fruit of the Spirit that's found in Galatians, it's love, peace, joy, temperance, long-suffering. Okay, it's brotherly love. It's all of this. That's how we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to be the other one. So I want you to think about that. Let's look at the primary disgust. Disgust brings contempt, disdain, scorn, distaste, and revulsion. Sorry. Let's look at the last one, shame. Shame is that one that the enemy tries to come and condemn us. Shame is guilt, embarrassment, chagrin, remorse, regret, and contrition. So when we want to talk about the embarrassment, the guilt about something that we did before this night, or before you were really taught, before you really heard. Because I know if you go to the brick and mortar house of prayer, that you hear the word, but the word has to get down deep, and then you have to do the word that you hear and put it into practical application. That's why I love the kingdom prescription. for every single thing that we need, it's in the Word. Because the kingdom of God, the 66 books in the Bible, is in fact our prescription for every emotion that we're going to have, and especially when we recognize that they're out of control. All right? Now, I was saying to you that when we have a secondary emotion, the key is to figure out what the primary emotion is. Was it anger, and the secondary was resentment because something didn't get handled, wasn't resolved right, and you resent the person for that, and then you internalize that, and you're carrying that around with you, and then you wonder why you have high blood pressure, why you have migraine headaches, okay, why you're not sleeping at night, why you have insomnia. Okay. And because we have to get to the root of the emotion so that we can take an action that is most helpful for us to get out of it. Now, for the next few minutes, I really want to go over a few things. I want to talk to you about the emotions and how they affect every organ in our body. Yes. Mm-hmm. I want you to listen to this. When we have grief and anxiety, the primary organs that are affected are our lungs and our large intestines. The secondary is that we have dry skin. Do you hear me? Now, these are the symptoms that we will have if emotion is not resolved. This is why so many of us in the body of Christ are sick, that we have various ailments about our bodies, because it's an internal thing before it becomes external. That's why the fruit of the Spirit first is developed inside, and it's an outside manifestation. If you are not praying, if you're not reading the Word, if you are not in some type of support group, and you're not in your ear gate listening to the Word, because the Word tells us that, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you're not surrounding, if you're not using these tools, then these are the things that you're looking at, the reason why you're having the effects of illnesses and inflammation in our body. All right. If we don't resolve grief and anxiety, we're going to look at cough, shortness of breath, asthma, bronchitis, pneumonia, dry skin, fatigue, breathlessness, crying, weakness, and a feeling of tightness or oppression in our chest. Good Lord. Let's look at if we have too much stress in our lives. Mm-hmm. The primary organs that it affects is our heart. Pericardium is when you have all of that fluid around our heart. It affects our head and our small intestine. The secondary is that, yes, it affects our arteries and our veins and our tongue and our sweat. And our arteries and our veins, it constricts. It doesn't expand. So when you have stress, this is that underlining of why this emotion, this culprit. But you have to understand why we have stress. There's a lot of elements. Now, some stress is healthy for you. When your body is in excellent, well, I should say, when you're experiencing a real good level of health. If you're walking every day, you're hydrating yourself, you're oxygenating yourself, you're praying, you recognize that I have a good demeanor, okay? You recognize that you are not being blown off the handle just because some things went out of place. Good stress is, I have a goal to attend. I might have to work a little hard right now, but I can take out some time and have some Jesus time. I can take out some time and have a little prayer time, and I'm going to be okay. That's all right. But with the other, you're going to be looking at constricting. Means that when your arteries and things get tight, your blood pressure go up. Why? Because they don't have free flow. That's why you have high blood pressure. So remember that. You want to lower your blood pressure. You want to lower your heart rate. You want your organs to rejuvenate themselves, and you want to be stronger. You don't want unnecessary worry, anger, anxiety, those types of things. All right? Let's look at worry and depression. Now, the word tells us in Matthew 6:32, we are not to worry. You cannot be a believer and have faith and worry and have faith at the same time. They just don't coexist. You cannot tell me that you're worrying and that you trust God. You can't do it. You have to either be one or the other. Are you going to trust him or not? Are you going to be in yourself, or are you going to trust God? Because faith then is what? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. So that means that you have to believe and you have to trust God for the outcome. Because if you don't, you have all kinds of stuff. I remember there was times I couldn't sleep at night. I was irritable. And you know, when you are sleep deprived, your nerves are on edge about like that. I mean, it's like almost anything can rub you the wrong way. You're off, you know, you're just out, and you're just all emotional, all over the place. So you have to learn how to bring it under subjection. Anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, when he tells us how we are supposed to be, because we have to develop the fruit of the Spirit. And the one about temperance, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. Temperance means discipline. So flesh and spirit are enemies. So between the flesh and the spirit is emotional chaos. Until you bring the spirit to overtake the worry, and you're going to do it by the word of God. That's what's going to happen. Let's look at anger. What are the areas that anger, primarily the liver and the gallbladder, your tendons and your eyes? Think about this. Your liver. Your liver is what filters your food, helps keep it purified. Listen, what it attacks. So if you don't get your anger handled, the very first one that it's not resolved, we're going to experience migraine headache, dizziness, blurred vision, red eyes, and of course the corporate high blood pressure. So if it's and if your high blood pressure, because of your emotions and how you're handling things, and the unforgiveness, and the awe, and the unbelief, all of that is going to put you into a state of emotions that's just going to be all over the place. Sometimes you're not even reasonable. Sometimes you can't even talk to us as believers. And when you are at that place, then you need to really check yourself before you wreck yourself. You're going to have to get alone, and you're going to have to pray and fast and ask the Lord to help you take that away. And he will do so. He will give you your own prescription for you to be able to do it. So we're talking tonight about acting on your emotions. And I want to make sure that if you have any questions, I know you're watching by Facebook Live too, but if you have any questions, I really want to hear. You have any comments? Because we've got just about maybe 10 or 12 more minutes. I want you to call in to 858-357-9137. That's 858-357-9137. I want to talk about now the last of these eight, and that's fear. Fear hurts these organs in our bodies. Did you know that? Fear hurts our kidneys. Listen, which is located in our back. We get into our muscles, our reproductive place. Come on. We get into our bladder, we get into our bones and our ears. So we have vertigo, we have things that causes us to be unbalanced. These are the organs that all of these wrong emotions, if they are not resolved, causes in our body. When we have fear, we have anxiety. You know how that's why when children are uneasy and they do that, that's why they're bedwetters. And even for us, as grown adults, we have frequent urination. We have bladder infections. and we become incontinent ourselves, and we have bladder problems. So I'm here to tell you tonight that things have to change, because the believer has an arsenal of weaponry. And where is it found? It's found in Ephesians 6:10 through 17a. It says that we first of all have to learn about the defense weapons of our warfare. That is number one, to gird our loins with truth. We want to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Why? Because it covers our heart. And then the shoes of peace and the helmet of salvation. These pieces of armor are to defend us from Satan's fiery arsenal. And trust me, it's our mind he's after. I talked about strongholds last week, but it's not going to change because the enemy wants our mind. So if he can talk to you about all these different things, if he can talk to you about not forgiving, he can talk to you about the blame game. He can talk to you about gossip, anything to keep you from using your word. But you do have a weapon, and the weapon is the word of God. It's found in Hebrews 4:12 that tells us that for the word of God is quick, what? And powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thought and intent of the heart. This is powerful. This is why we need to take our word. Charles Spurgeon, I love this quote. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, "A Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who uses it." So it's our weapon. You have to get the word on it. Whatever those emotions that you know you have, that you know you have recognized because you have gone through various things in your life that has caused you disaster, it causes you to speak out of turn, say things that you know that you shouldn't have said. And it caused you not to be able to take into subjection those emotions. You couldn't do it on your own. And you recognize it. So you're going to need help through the word of God. You need that power that's in the word. It's not your word. It's the word of God that breaks strongholds. It's the word of God that breaks chains. It's the word of God that do it when you believe it. Because you have to have faith to know that it's happening. And these are with the flesh. It's hard for things to happen around us. Because as I was studying, thank you, Holy Ghost of God, when I was studying about emotions and I was doing this research, and I was first, when I started, I was trying to get into all the psychologicals, what the psychiatrist says, and I gave you a little bit about that. But the Holy Spirit said, no, my people are perishing because of the lack of knowledge of my word. It is my word that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Because when the word of God is spoken, then it brings about the power. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart of you and also that other person. It is a two-edged sword. So when you speak the word over the matter, it's dealing with you as well as the other person. It's dealing with those emotions that you know that you cannot control on your own. And it's okay. I don't care how grown we get. We are in need of discipline. We are in need of long-suffering. We are in need of love, because as being the disciples of Christ, when we look at Jesus' teaching, he always did the opposite of what we did. If other people say hate, he said, listen, love your neighbor. He said, you got ticked off and didn't want to give them up. And he said, listen, if they're hungry, feed them. He said, if they're thirsty, give them something to drink. Said, if they ask you for something, all right, do I hear a caller on? He said, if they ask you for something, give it to them. Our example is Jesus. And we need to understand that Satan tempted Jesus with the lust of the flesh. He said, he asked him, I want you to command these stones to be turned to bread. And then the lust of the eyes, he said, if thou therefore will worship me, you know, Satan is crazy. He's going to tempt Jesus. So now, you know, if he's telling Jesus that I want you to jump off this cliff and then I want you to bow down and worship me, who are we? He wants to play with our mind. He wants to give us a script. So the way to combat acting out in your emotions is to replace that with the word. You've got to get the sword of the spirit. Put the word on that situation. All right? So I love this because I was looking and a question was asked often, how did Jesus deal with the devil? He took the sword of the word of God. That's how he did it. And he would always say what? These words. It is written. It is written. Jesus overcame every temptation by one weapon, the word of God. So I'm here to tell you tonight that the only way that you're going to take authority over your emotions, over the ones that you find in the word that you know that have caused you problems, that have held you back, we need to bring those and put them on the altar. That's why we're doing this series, because he wants you to be whole. He wants you to have the abundant life. He wants you to experience Ephesians 3:20. He wants to give you more than you can ever ask or think according to the powers that work in you. Use your weaponry. Call upon the name of the Lord. Invite the Holy Spirit to help you. Cry out. He promised us that when we cry out about situations, that he is going to help us. And he's going to show us great and mighty things. I love that because I know he will. Because the source of our supply and able to get it is the word and prayer. Because some Christians fail to understand that prayer is the second offensive weapon in our warfare. All right? Once we get all dressed up in our armor, we pick up our sword and we think that we're ready to fight. But we have to really get ready for all of it. Pray always with all prayer and supplications in the spirit. In the spirit. In our heavenly language. And watching, therefore, with all perseverance and application for all the saints. Making the supplications for all the saints. Not application, supplication. We need to understand that we're going to have to stay girded up. We can't be just complacent Christians and not get involved, not get into a prayer group, a small group, because flesh doesn't ever want to pray. Flesh doesn't ever want to fast. Flesh doesn't want to do any of that. Flesh just wants to act a fool. That's what it wants to do. It wants to be lackadaisical. It doesn't want to worship. Mm-mm. The Bible tells us that our flesh is enmity toward God. So we have to bring it under subjection. I challenge you today to take the mighty weapon of God that has given you to get into the battle. Begin today to offer lingering, loving, laboring prayers on behalf of others. Oh, we want to talk about that intercessory prayer. I've got to get this in. To be able to break about those emotions that you have about someone. Thank you, Holy Spirit. When you pray for someone that you have contention against, you have art against, somebody's hurt you and that thing is not resolved and you can't sleep at night, you can't speak to them when you walk into the house of prayer where you're supposed to be going to worship, when the Bible tells you that if you have aught against anybody, leave your gifts at the altar, go to that person, get it straightened out, and you're still going through things in your mind, and you're allowing the enemy to beat you down in this temple, because our body is the temple of God. And then when you go into the house of prayer, when you go in with the corporate prayer, when you go in where you're supposed to have that koinonia, you're supposed to have that love and that compassion, you're supposed to have all of that, and you're trying to get a prayer, and it's just falling down on the seat by you because you are sitting in the house of prayer, and you have these emotions, and you have all this stuff against somebody else, and you can't get into the worship service for real because you're kind of halfway looking, and they're halfway looking, and you know what's in your heart. And the Holy Ghost just doesn't deal with that. And I love it because he will send different people to you during the corporate place and speak things to you. And you know that somehow when they're saying that, they recognize, because the Holy Ghost is no fool. The Holy Ghost is a discerner of your heart. The Word of God is. So when things go about, sometimes the Word will come. The Word will have to come and convict you, not condemn you. Listen, this is not a word about condemning. This is convicting. This is to let you know that God wants you to have the best. Do not allow the enemy to make you an okey-doke rope, to make you a fool, and to make you miss out, to make you to continue act out on your emotions, where you will make decisions, where you will say things to people, and you'll regret. You're not in your best state. You need to tell somebody sometime, if I never say anything else on this tonight about acting out on your emotions, take control. Take it under captivity. Every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, when you can't do anything else, here's your key. Stop. Pray. Listen. Stop. Pray. Listen. That's our key. Because when you do that, then you are bringing yourself into a place where God is able to use you. You realize that what you think, what you hold on to affects every organ in your body. Did you understand that? It causes restriction. It causes constriction, and it does not expand. It does not allow you to be at liberty. Galatians 5:1 tells us to stand and stand in the liberty whereby Christ has set us free. To what? To no longer be entangled in the yoke of bondage. What are the yokes of bondage? The yoke of bondage is fits of rage, unforgiveness. Okay, lasciviousness, just laziness, unforgiving, ought, wrath, all of those things. So tonight I hope you learned about your weaponry as a believer. So on next week, we're going to talk about how to manage our emotions. I'm going to get into more scriptures about how to beat down the devil. We've outlined our emotions this week. Next week, we're going to talk about managing. We're going to talk about how to bring it down. I gave you some insight about the word, about the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We know that, and we have prayer. So this week, I want to challenge you that whatever you have noticed that you've been noticing that you're doing, so if you still have those things that's going on and only you and God know that, because I had to do it too. So when you have identified it, I want you to fall on your face and get before God. And then I want you to get your sword, get the word, go in the back of the concordance, get you some scriptures, whether it's fussing, cussing, whatever it is, God, whatever it is, get some scripture and put on it. And I decree and declare by the word of God that you're going to be set free and that you too will stand in the liberty whereby Christ has set you free, and you won't have to be entangled in the yoke of bondage. So, all right, I want you to be sure to share this video with others, because it's our desire in Breaking Chains on Healthy Monday for us to experience the goodness of God, the greatness of God, and to have that abundant life in every area of our lives, in our emotions, in our finances, in our relationships, and in our time. He wants you to have it all. All right, so remember that every Monday night from 7 to 8, that you can view us right here on Facebook, and you can call into the 858-357-9137. Was it a blessing, Annie? Did I say something, Sharon? Did I say something, Monica, that helped you out? Was this broadcast a help? I need you to make a comment, share it with your friends on Facebook, tell others about the broadcast. You know, you can also type in the subject matters and things that you would like to discuss. All right? I look forward to seeing you on next week. So, until then, I want to say this. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with excellence, greatness with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, be majesty, be dominion, and power, both now and forever, is my prayer and my desire for you. So do we have any callers on the line? We've got just a few more minutes. Do we have any callers on the line? Does anyone have any questions or comments? This is your time. Do we have any callers on the line? I know I heard some. You don't have to be shy. No comments, no questions. Annie, you and Sharon. Monica, you all are good. Clayton, you all are good.
You've been listening to Breaking Chains with Healthy Monday on YAT Radio.
Tune in next week, same time.
Go to our website,
blogtalkradio.com/YAT Radio, or call in
858-357-9137.
It's Breaking Chain, YAT Radio, where we leave a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence.